001 this year on the tour. I checked my contract, and I only have to say two shiurim a year, on Shabbos Shuva and on Shabbos Hagadol. So, where's Benjamin Fishman? I need a bonus for this. But the bonus very clearly is what took place here in the last 3 weeks. I think we... Rabosai, all of you, and Esa Sher Yeshna Po Hayom, Esa Sher Enenu Po Hayom, certainly deserve... And that's the bonus, the tremendous outpouring of Mesiras Nefesh, of learning, of Iyun, that took place in the last 3 weeks. So everybody gets a big Yasher Koyach for that. And of course, Rav Safir Barak, who thought of it, who did it, who put so much practice into it. He doesn't know, but I have applied to OJ. I filled out an application form because that's some shiur he gives. Also, if Yehuda David will stand up, please. And Eitan, where are you? These are the people who have accepted the achrayus of being the shatchanim for night seder. And whoever wants to come night seder and continue the learning or renew it and figure out what to learn and make chavrusas, I'll be working closely with them. And please see them, and they'll be a constant presence here if they know what's good for them. And you'll be able to work out with them with chavrusas and Ian and Bikius. I don't know if anybody's interested in learning Bikius anymore, but they'll help you work things out. So Yeshu Koyach to them. Okay, now... I guess we'll start. When Rav Abba said shir, my Rosh Hashiva said shir, so he called me over after shir one day. It was Mivomus one, I remember. And he said that I was making noise during shir, and it was a very big distraction for him. And I couldn't figure out what he meant, because I wasn't talking, I wasn't, like, what noise was he referring to? So he reached into my pocket and he said, "You were going like this." And then you were clicking your pen. So Rabbi, he actually planned out the shir with the utmost of concentration, and he actually planned out every word he said, and he planned out the sequence of questions and the sequence of sentences and exactly what word to use. And when he said the shir, he was just so totally into... He was like oblivious, almost, except that a noise would distract him, as oblivious as he was, because he was concentrating so hard, because every word was very oisgecheshment, and he was extremely precise in his use of words. So, indeed, I could see that the clicking of a pen would distract him. So I don't know if I'm on that madrega, but... I don't know if you saw my email. I'm not saying shir today like Rav Mendel used to say, which is the marketplace shir. I'm going to be a shtickle like Rav Abba, so I'll ask you to bear with me. And if I don't say anything that outlandish, we'll wait till the end to answer questions. I got into the mood of making a lot of hakdomas. Everybody should relax. Now, actually, I turned to Barak and I said, "What's the matter with you? What are you talking about? Chidushim? An analysis." I said, "If a new case comes up, you want to know, let's say, if microwave is cooking on Shabbos. New things come up. Like I talked about a shaitel of davar echad yesterday on the Maral Shia. So a person's sick with a psychosis. So you want to analyze it. You want to analyze a new case based on principles in the Gemara. But it's a new case. So that's Yishmat. And you're ma'ayin in the Gemara, and you analyze it, and according to your koach of analysis, you'll extract lomdisha principles, and you'll apply them, and you'll apply them to the new case at bar, and that's how you'll be able to paskin the new issues that come up, and that's usually what comes up in Pesach Halacha. When you have to be ma'ayin into Halacha, it's usually a new type of case that it doesn't say, and you have to if you're allowed in, so you'll have the principles of the halacha, you'll have them correct, you'll understand what the principles are, and you'll extrapolate to the new cases. And if you're not allowed in, if you have a krum ahead, so then you'll extrapolate wrongly, because you'll extract the wrong principles from the case, or you'll make bad sushtels. I said, but his son who writes with one hand and does kol melachto basically with the other hand, that's not a new case. That's a case that's discussed already in the Rishonim. It's discussed already in the early Achronim. It's discussed in the Tur and the Beis Yosef and the Bach. It's already Doshu Beirabim, I call it. This is already it's been through the mill. So I said, what do you want from me? In such a case, if someone would come to me with the Shaila, because I have to paskin it, so then I would really go away from the analysis of the sugya main kara. Because I'd say, you know, Doshu Beirab, what am I going to come up with? A new chiddush, and I'm going to argue with the Ramah, I'm going to argue with the Gra, I'm going to argue with the Mishnah Brura, I'm going to argue with the Ben Hanano, I'm going to argue with Rabbi Chiyom in Paris. But so there, I would really do Mishnah Brura beer halacha style of paskini, which is basically to see where the thrust of the psak halacha goes. You have to be a mystical London, and you have to have some an analytical method to realize that also, where the thrust of the halacha goes. You have to know Kloli Hora. But basically, you're doing what I call Mishnah Brura beer halacha style, which you don't see like the analysis of the Sugya Meikara, and they're coming out with a Chiddush Halacha. They're basically telling you a consensus of the Halacha. So I said, in this case, what do you want from me? When he first asked me to Shaila, I said, I'm going to go start learning Menachas, and I'm going to start. I said, you know, I'm not going to do that. It's Doshu Bei Rabin. What am I going to come up with, a new thing? I'll tell you the thrust of what I feel the consensus of the Halacha is. Rav Moshe, Zatzal, and the Chanami. Rav Moshe was a takif, and Rav Moshe was not shy of arguing with Rishonim. Rav Moshe in his tshuvas, many, many tshuvas, he either takes issue with Rishonim, or he wants to take issue with Rishonim, so he twists the Rishonim in order to fit his takifus in Svara, in logic. In Yoredeya, for example, in Chelek Aleph, in Yeredeya Siman Kuf Aleph, he has a paragraph where he says very clearly that Avada Torah learning means that everyone who's capable should be Machriya Adin on his own and should go through Shas and Postim on his own. Bahavona Yeshara Barayas Nechonos Af Shehu Din Chodosh, and he can argue with Gedolei Achronim Mabakach, just like the Achronim argued with the ones that came before them. So I'm allowed to argue with those Achronim. What's the difference? That's the nature of Torah. The Ein L'dayin El Mashein of Reos. That's all he says. And even against Rishonim, I would not hesitate from arguing with Rishonim, because that's what Torah is all about. In fact, he touches up the Gemara in Gittin, and the Sanuso Shel Rav Zecharia Ben Avkuas Hechriva Es Beisenu. What's Anova? What Anova was exhibited there? So he says that he was shy. He didn't want to paskin. He didn't want to be mechadish in halacha, even though it appeared to him a correct svara. So that Anova Hechrivas Batenu. And so Rav Moshe was not shy from arguing with Rishonim. And he says it in many places, and that's, I have a different Masorah, even if I would be capable of it. My Masorah from my Rosh Yeshiva is never to argue with Rishonim. In fact, I remember once discussing with Rav Abba, he was in a hospital, Grada, and I visited him, and I asked him the following question. The Ramban says that Avraham Avinu was Chote in Parshas Lech Lecha, when he went down to Mitzrayim. The Ramban says Avraham Avinu was Chote. That's the Ramban. Chazal don't say it. The Ramban says it. Rav Moshe takes issue with the Ramban. How dare he, I'm paraphrasing, how dare he say that Avraham Avinu was Chote when Chazal didn't say it? Avraham Avinu, can't do that. So I asked Rav Abba what he held. And he said, argues with the Moshe. He said, the Rishonim, and this is what my Masorah is from my Rebbe Rav Abba, the Rishonim were not Mechadshim in Torah. the Rishonim were Mefarshim. And therefore, the Ramban explaining a Gemara or explaining a Pasuk is learning the Gemara. So if you're going to argue with the Ramban, it's akin to arguing with the Gemara. Because the Ramban's not saying Ramban. The Ramban's saying Gemara. It was the Achronim already, Yeshua, Kidega, whatever, what have you, the Achronim, Marshal, they already said their own Torah. So it's them you can argue with. You're not going to argue with Rishonim who saw themselves as, who were insiders of Torah, who were Yorid la'amita shel Torah, la'umta shel Torah, and they melded with the Torah. So you can argue with the Ramban, that's what he held, and that's what he gave over to me, so I'm not going to, you know, so there's a limit to what I can do in the sugya, I thought, because it's Pefeirush Rishonim and Piskei Halacha, so what am I going to say already? Okay, but I said, you know, let me go through the sugya. I'll humor him. So I'll go through the sugya, Kedarka Shel Torah, and maybe I'll come up with something that'll be roy to stand in front of a Chashev Olam and say over, and not just count up the shittas in Mishnah Berurah here, halacha style. So, we'll start. Just one more announcement. I'm amused by something, and I would like to express my amusement, because Barak already told me that he's not going to listen to my psalm. He's going to do what he's going to do. So why am I amused by that? I'm not angry, Chas v'Shalom, I'm not upset. I'm amused, because I found in the shul that there are people, Es Asher Yeshno Po Hayom, Es Asher Einenu Po Hayom, who have kindness to me, because of what they perceive my opinions to be about Das Torah and how we have to follow what the Gedolim say, what our leaders say, and people think they know my opinion, and they are upset by it. Not that they ever sat down with me and discussed it at length, but you know, Kachi Darko Shel Ashul and its members, the Rav said something. They think they understand what I hold and what I said, so they have kindness. So what am I amused at? The only Das Torah that anyone here is technically mechuyev to listen to al-pi Torah is mine. If you're a member in Beis Tfila, and I was chosen as the Rav of Beis Tfila, the only Das Torah that you're technically, I'm underlining the words, that you're technically mechuyev to listen to is mine. And if I paskin l'chumra or l'kula, you are technically mechuyev to listen to me. Absolute chiyuv. So I'm amused that the people who are loudest in proclaiming their fidelity to Das Torah are the ones that are proclaiming that they're not going to listen to my psak. But since I have the greatest of respect for Barak, and I don't want to subject his son to going through the rest of his life being upset or thinking he's not yoytz in the midst of tefillin, so I am going to. I very rarely have paskened anything for the shul. If the Olam would think back, I have very rarely, I don't think I've ever, maybe, I very rarely like paskened the chiddush in halacha. I'm not talking about when people call me up. 85% of the shilas that people called up with, I'm sorry to say, are in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. 85%. If you know Kitzur Shulchan Aruch cold, I would not get 85 to 90% of the phone calls. Just playing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I'm not even talking Mishnah Berurah. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. But having said that, so I'm not going to paskin tonight. I'm going to just say my opinion, Eich Nir Eli, and that's all. So he's free to do what he wants. Even I won't subject him to what I actually have the ability to subject him to. So where's Barak's son? What's your first name? Avi, you write with your left hand, and you serve volleyball with your left hand. You only serve, but you don't. The rest is with your right hand. You do everything with your right hand. You thread a needle with your right hand. You turn a key with your right hand. You bang in a hammer with your right hand. You dribble a basketball with your right hand. I didn't know. You hold the fork with your left hand, and the knife you cut with your right hand. Now, why a spoon with your? A spoon is left hand. Spoon is your left hand. I don't get that. That's what I don't get. Why a spoon here and a fork? the fork also, but the knife is with your right hand. And the fork is just to spear the food and eat it. But the spoon of soup, you eat with your left hand. Okay, so he writes with his left hand and basically is kol malachto b'yamin. So what's the din in such a case? So let's go learn the Gemara now, and we'll see. So the Olam knows the Gemara. Let's look at it with fresh eyes. Tanakama says, yot chazu small. And he brings down psukim to that effect. The practice of Tanakama, he seems to be saying that the mashmos of the word yad in the pasuk means small. Yabiyasi Achorim says no. He argues it, that's not the case. Motzinu yamin shenikra yad, and he brings down his pasuk. So how does he know that you put on tefillin on your left hand? He either learns like Rav Nosson, the Gemara says, or he learns like Rav Ashi, Yod Keha. And there's a Tana that holds up the drush of Yod Keha too, Ketanoi. So there's a Tana, it's not just Rav Ashi saying that Rav Yossi holds like that, but it's a Tana that holds of Yod Keha. Okay, let's be Ma'ayin now in the Gemara. Rav Nosson Oimer Ein Tzorech. Right, he's addressing Tanakama. Tanakama says that yad is small, vayulois on yotcha, yad is small, Rav Nosson Oimer ainu tzorech, harei oimer ksharta b'chusavton, and he makes the limud maksiva b'yamin af kashira b'yamin, but even the kashira b'yamin, hanacha b'small. So my first question that I ask myself is, what do you mean ainu tzorech? How can you get any more basic than saying what's the meaning of the word yad? What's more basic than that? Ein tzorech means you don't have to make your fancy drushas. It's a more simple drusha. What's more basic than saying yod means small? You don't have to say yod means small. I have like a complicated hekesh that says you do kshira with your min and the male and anachal on small. That's question one. What's ein tzorech? Rashi says in Reb Nosson, Ksiva b'yamin. Shekleifin b'yamin. Shekleifin ha-mezuzah b'yamin. Why? Deroi b'nei adam kleifin b'yamin. So there's a hekesh that shiranami of a kesher b'yamin. So the immediate question that comes to mind is, what do you need a hekesh for? Once you're saying that ksiva's b'yamin, because that's what rov b'nei adam do, so then just go directly to kshira and say kshira's also b'yamin. Because most people write if they're writing, so they'll make a kesher with the right hand. So I see Rav Moshe's bothered by that too. I don't think it's a question meikara. I think there are things that do not necessarily are not done with either hand necessarily. When it comes to carrying in Rishus HaRabim, for example, on Shabbos, so carrying is either with your right hand or with your left hand. Neither hand is called shalom kederech. So that's questioned by me. Rav Moshe has a binyan and he builds something on that. I don't agree. I say what Rashi means is because kshira taka could be done with either hand. If you think of the kesher of tefillin and just making the kesher, you wouldn't just point to kshira and say Rav b'nei adam would make the kesher with their right hand. That's not true. The kesher is a simple task like carrying, and therefore that would be done with either hand. So that's why you need the hekesh. Okay, now let's go to the hekesh. If you were making the Hekesh, if anybody here was making the Hekesh, they wouldn't talk about Rav b'nei adam. They would say, you. They would say, just like you're kosher b'yamin, just like you're kosher b'yamin, so you have to be kosher b'yamin. So, like, why? What does Rashi mean by bringing down Rav b'nei adam? If anything, you would say, as the Mordechai suggests in Rashi, that by making the limud from Rov b'nei adam and saying that Rov b'nei adam are kaisen b'yamin, so the kashira nami you make b'yamin, and therefore you're putting on tefillin on your left hand, you would reach the conclusion that a lefty also puts on tefillin on his left hand. Because the limud is that Rov b'nei adam are kosef, so that's the hand with which you have to make shira with. So by saying Rov b'nei adam, it sounds like, and that's what the Mordechai indeed says that Rashi's coming, that the Rashi holds that this man, the Yomar, Rav Nosson holds that a lefty also puts tefillin on his left hand. It's very schwer to say that in the Gemara. First of all, the Lashon of Einot Tzorech, again, certainly doesn't mashma that he's chaylik at any point with the Tanakhama. Now that itself would not be such a good point, because the Mordechai holds that in Tanakhama also, it's possible that an Iter would put tefillin on his left hand. Because if Yotcha means the left hand, the Mordechai says, so Yotcha means the left hand, so that's the hand you put on tefillin. Even a lefty puts tefillin on the left hand. So Einot Tzorech, so there's no problem if Rav Nosson holds like that also, because they both hold like that. But I think it's very, very schwer. The Gemara Bistoma says later of Brisa that a lefty puts on tefillin on the right hand. No Rishonim other than this Mordechai suggests that there's a machlekes bedavar. In the flow of the Gemara, it doesn't sound like there's a machlekes bedavar. Rashi doesn't allude to any machlekes bedavar. None of the Iker Rishonim on the Sugya allude that there's a machlekes bedavar. Tosfos, when he goes on Rav Nosson, he starts off saying that an Iter puts tefillin on his right hand. He doesn't say Pirish Bekuntris, Kaf Lekaf, and he's arguing with Rashi. There's no remez, not in any, in the Tur, in the Beis Yosef, in the normal Rishonim, and in the flow of the Gemara. Noch besser! The Gemara is Sestira in Brisis. What hand does a lefty put on tefillin on? And the Gemara holds it for a stira. And the Gemara says a teretz. If there's a machlekes tanoim bedavar, according to the Mordechai, the Gemara can just answer the stira, that this is machlekes tanoim. And this brisa goes like Rav Nosson with the Tanakhama, and the other brisa goes like Yad Teo with the Rashi. The Gemara asks it for a stira. And no Rishonim mention it. I think it's very rochok to say that according to Rashi, plus Rashi himself, later in the Sugya, We'll see in a few moments. Rashi himself later in the Sugya is mashma very clearly, implies very much so, almost explicitly, that that's divrei hakol, that an iter puts tefillin on his right hand. We'll see in a moment. So then, Eibazei, also, yeah, and if Rashi means this way of learning, that a pshartam automatically means most people, the way the Mordechai is learning, so I have a very good kasha. When you say Yad Keha is the left hand, why don't you say that's also most people? Just like you're dashing uksharton, and you're learning in Rashi, oh, uksharton, most people put tefillin, most people write, and therefore tie or not with their right hand. So, most people, very nice. So when you say Yad Keha, so also say most people. And say you have to put tefillin always on the Yad Keha. What's Yad Keha to most people? Like, why in this drasha it's most people? And in this drasha it's Tully and you? Hello, Davaru. Besides all these other questions we ask, in the Stira and the Gemara doesn't say a teretz, that it's a machlekes tanoim. And Rashi really, Rashi says as a statement of fact that Yamin shall iter havi smola di day ho over of kocho besmolo. Rashi says that a few lines later. He says it in a vacuum. He doesn't explain Ravashi according to that. He's not explaining Ashit according to that. He says it in a vacuum, and therefore I say Salosach Nishredin, and therefore we have to explain what Rashi means by rov. Okay. Let's go to Tosfos. Tosfos starts off in this drasha, Maksiva b'yamin, afkshira b'yamin. He starts off, you know, a lefty puts on tefillin on his right hand. Okay, that's a brisa later. Tosfos then says, but this drasha says, Maksiva b'yamin, afkshira b'yamin. So let's say a person writes with his right hand and does everything else. I'll say everything else, although it's totally in right, but just to make it easier to say, I'll say everything else. And he does everything else with his left hand. Yesh lehistapek, what hand should he put tefillin on? What's Tosfos suffering? Why yesh lehistapek? If the pshat in Rav Nosson was indeed a limud that said that you are kosher the tefillin with the hand that you're kosev with, and therefore tefillin's on your left hand, and the limud didn't talk about left or right. It was a din. You're kosher with this hand, you're kosher with this hand. So then why are you stopping? Just because you, Taisus should say, for a double portion, that if you write with your, whatever hand you write with, that's the hand you're going to put on tefillin with, meaning the tefillin will be on the other hand. So someone who writes with his right hand and does everything else with his left hand will be putting on tefillin on his left hand, because he'll be kosher to tefillin with his right hand. Why yesh le hastafek? According to Reb Nosson, there's no safek. Where did Tosfos see a safek in Reb Nosson? What made him be mesupek? The drush is very clear. Weiter in Tosfos, Tosfos says v'shema yesh le damoso kesholek b'shtei yodav. You know what? Maybe it's like someone who's ambidextrous, because he writes with one hand and he does everything else with the other hand. So he's like sholik b'shtei yodav, and maybe he'll end up putting on his left hand, because that's the din of an ambidextrous person. Why in the world should we be the dama hit to sholik b'shtei yodav according to Rav Nosson? Two questions. According, if you learn Rav Nosson superficially, I'll call it, because we're going to delve into it deeper. But if you learn Rav Nosson kepashdusa, that he's making a simple drasha, whatever hand you write with, that's the hand you tie the tefillin with. And you put the tefillin's on the other hand. So then why should Tosfos be mesupik about a person that writes with one hand and does everything else with his other hand? The drasha is quite clear. There's no makom safek. The next line of Tosfos says, if the yesh le hastafek, he says, v'shema yesh le damoso l'sholek b'shtei yadav. Why? I don't see the tushdal at all. I'm sorry. Here is a drasha. Whatever hand you write with, you put on the tefillin with. Why should? What do you mean, sholei b'shtei yodav? Who cares about sholei b'shtei yodav? It's totally in tziva. Actually, if you, the Mordechai makes it even. The Mordechai makes it even more, makes the question even sharper. Hey, different page numbers here. Oh, I'm sorry, the Mordechai. Okay. The Mordechai says, he brings down Reb Nosson's drasha. Then he says, Shaul Rabbi Chanan Saraf Aviv, someone who's eat their linyan ksiva, and Lashor Malachos, he does with his right hand, and he writes with his left hand, do you go basa ksiva or not? Because it's mashma you go basa ksiva in the Gemara. Because that's Reb Nosson's drasha. But maybe now, maybe you go baser ikur kolchol. The heishiv davalei kesholet b'shtei yodav umeniach the small. So he was the Mordechai, or this Shoel, or the Metaritz was able to look at the Reb Nosson's drasha and still come out with a maskana that he's sholet b'shtei yodav if he writes with one hand and does everything else with the other hand. Tosfos comes out with b'shema yesh l'damoso. That Metaritz comes out that it is indeed that way, and we'll see in a few minutes that in the Beis Yosef in the Tur brings down the smack very clearly that it's sholeik b'shtei yadav. A person who writes with one hand and does everything else with the other hand, even in Reb Nosson, he calls it sholeik b'shtei yadav. So that obviously has to be examined. Rashi, I don't know if it's the printer did it or Rashi did it, as I called it before, in a vacuum. But you see, Rashi's, the Brisa says, a lefty puts tefillin on in his right hand. Doesn't bring down any psukim, doesn't say why, doesn't say Reb Nosson, doesn't say Yad Keha, doesn't bring down anyone. Rashi says, Yamin shall eat there have his smola di day, hoel verov kochol the smola. Not mashma at all that he's going according to one man diyama. Okay, he said that already. Another question. Sholeik b'shtei yodav puts on his left hand. Why? Rashi says, Sholeik b'shtei yodav, both hands are equal in koach. So he sholeit b'yamin also. So he puts it on his left hand, lefi shehi smol l'chol adam, v'afel gam d'yidei havei yamin, or havei ki yamin, the Shita says. So you go bus a row of people. L'chol adam. Shvi shehi smol, most people. Smol l'chol adam. Tell me, what gives you the right to make such a jump? What gives you the right? Maybe he doesn't put on tefillin at all. Like we'll see by a kohen. A kohen that's a lefty, Rashi Shita is, can't do the, as a kohen that's a lefty cannot do the avodah. Rashi Shita, as explained by the Rishonim in various places in Shas, is that the reason he can't do avodah is because he doesn't have a right hand. Because his real right hand is not his right hand conceptually, because it has no kayach, and his left hand, which is conceptually, he has kayach in, but that's on his left, it's not on his right. So he doesn't have a right hand. Other Rishonim learn it's a mum, but Rashi Shita is that he has no right hand. So, you know, I say the same thing by tefillin, if he's ambidextrous, he has no right hand. Or he has no left hand. Like, what gives Rashi the right to say, oh, he showed it b'shtayadot, oh, we'll go busser, small shall call Adam. But what gives you the right to say that? If the pasuk doesn't mean small shall call Adam, and if you're a lefty, you put on tefillin on your right hand, so what gives you the right to jump to that just because you're ambidextrous and you got a problem? The pasuk still even means you personally. Doesn't mean. Like, how do you make that jump? What gives you the right to make that leap? At this point, I'll pause and I'll go over a list of things that I don't understand. We don't understand. What does Rashi mean when he says in the drasha of Rav Nosson, most people write with their right hands? Why does Rashi say that? What the Mordechai says is untenable and doesn't appear in any other Rishon, and in the flow of the sugya it doesn't appear. So what does Rashi mean to say Rov Bnei Adam? Just say you should tie the tefillin with whatever hand you write with. What is Tosfos for Sofek according to Rav Nosson? Why should there be a Sofek? Rav Nosson says a clear drasha. So why should there be a Sofek if you write with one hand and do everything with the other? What's Tosfos Sushtel, the last line of Tosfos, to Sholeit B'Shtei Adam? Who cares about Sholeit B'Shtei Adam in Rav Nosson? Rav Nosson says you put the tefillin on with whatever hand you write with. What do we care if you're ambidextrous? What difference does that make? What's Chat and Rashi Sholik Bishtay Yoda that all of a sudden you follow Kol Adam and you put tefillin on your left hand? That we don't understand. And to understand clearly Rashi Shita by a Kayan, what it means he has no right hand. Of course, if he's a lefty, he has no right hand. Let's go to the tour. The tour Paskins, of course, and there's no hint of any machlekes bedover that a lefty puts tefillin on what the Torah calls his left hand, which is the right hand. Yamin shel kol adam. The Beis Yosef brings down the Brice of the Gemara, no mention of a machlekes. He brings down the Rosh that brings down the Beis Yosef brings down the Rosh that brings down Rav Nosson's drasha, and then he says, "So what about if you write with one hand and you do everything with the other hand?" And he gives both cases. If you write with your left and you do everything else with the right, or you write with the right and you do everything else with the left, what's the din? He then brings down the Balatrumos, that paskins like Ravashi, that you follow Yad Keha, so forget about writing, it's not relevant. You just follow Rov Malacha. So we don't care what hand he writes with. That's the Balatrumos. Vizem Maskonas Hamordechai also. He then brings down a smack that it's sholeit b'shtei yadav. That if you write with one hand, and now again, remember, to say it's sholeit b'shtei yadav, you have to hold the Rav Nosson's drasha. Because if you don't hold the Rav Nosson's drasha writing, who cares about writing? It just is subsumed on the Rov. And you'll figure out what Rov Malachto is. What, there's nothing special about writing. So if you say, as the smack does, and as Tosfos does, that if you write with one hand and do all malacha with your other hand, you're a sholeit b'shtei yadav, you're already accepting Rav Nosson's drasha. So if you're accepting Rav Nosson's drasha, what do you mean sholeit b'shtei yadav? What do you mean? What's pshat? But the smack does say that. The smack says it clearly, like I showed you in the Mordechai before. Tosfos says maybe, but the smack says yes. writing with one hand and doing everything else with your other hand is a sholeit b'shtei yadav and will therefore put tefillin on his left hand. He then brings down Rabbeinu Yechiel, the Beis Yosef does, who says, if you write with your right hand and you do everything else with your left hand, you put tefillin on your left hand, that's Rabbeinu Yechiel. Now, Rabbeinu Yechiel could hold like the smock if you want. He could. The Darkei Moshe, though, says that it's mashma not like that from the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe says, the Bala Trumo says, this way, that you go with Yad Keha, but Rabbeinu Yechiel goes with Rav Nosson. The Darkei Moshe says, V'chein nira li sheyesh li linhog. Chein nira sheyesh linhog. That's the Ramah. Actually, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says the Hochi Nohu. We're going to see, this is very significant. The Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch, on this halacha, says the Hochi Nohu, to do like Rabbi Yechiel. In the Darkei Moshe, he says the Nirali Shechein Yesh Linho. And I'm going to show you a difference and how it makes a difference in halacha between those two statements. My problem is that the Darkei Moshe says the chen nirali sheyesh li linhog like Rabbeinu Yechiel and like the smock. What? If you're doing like the smock, then obviously the only relevance is to say that if you write, I'm going to keep getting mixed up now, so forgive me. If you write with your right hand, right, and you do everything else with your left hand, you still put on your left hand because you show like b'shtayotah. That's the smock. He starts off, Rabbeinu Yechiel sounds like he's going with straight Rav Nosson's din. You follow the ksiva. But he only gives the case of writing with the right and doing everything with the left. And the Darkei Moshe himself says, V'chein nira li sheyesh li linhog like Rabbeinu Yechiel and like the smack. But they're two different shittas, it sounds like. The smack pulls it shalit b'shtei yadav. By the way, the obvious nafkamin is in Barak Son's case. Because saying it shalit b'shtei yadav always has you put it on your left hand. So if you write with your left hand, now if you go straight forward with Rav Nosson, and you take Rav Nosson the way it sounds like, and you paskin like Rav Nosson, so if you write with your left hand and do everything with your right hand, you're going to put tefillin on your right hand. Right? That's Rav Nosson's din. But if you learn like the smack that he showed at b'shtei yadav, then no matter which way it is, you'll always put tefillin on your left hand, because he's always ambidextrous. He showed at b'shtei yadav. So the Darkei Moshe is weird. He says v'chein nirali sheyesh linhog, and he brings on Rabbeinu Yechiel, whose lashon is mashma a shtickle like straightforward Rav Nosson. But then he says ukismak. The smak clearly says he says b'shtei yadav. Okay, we're going to explain everything in Mitzvah Shem. The Bach has a whole new take on Rabbeinu Yechiel. It comes out like the smak, but for a different reason. The smack says if you do something right with one hand, again, I want to remind you about that. If you say if you write with one hand and you do everything with your other hand, the shalit b'shtei yadav, you've accepted Rav Nosson's drasha. Or else you have no right, no pun intended, you have no right to look at writing as anything special. Right? So, and if you have Rav Nosson's drasha, why shalit b'shtei yadav? A very important question. The Bach has a whole new take on the Rabbeinu Yechiel. Not that it's shalit b'shtei yadav. But he says, also he says, Rabbeinu Yechiel is limited to where you write with your right hand and you do everything else with your left hand. In other words, why? The Bach says, like, to be a lefty, you need both. Now let's to remember it maybe in a simple formulation, and I call it that because that's the way I remember it. To be a lefty, you have to have both. To be a lefty, you have to do everything with your left hand, and you have to write with your left hand also. Once you write with your right hand, you're not a full-fledged lefty anymore. But that's all Rabbi Yechiel holds, the Bach says. Once, so it's only relevant, Rabbi Yechiel, the Bach says, if you write with your right hand. If you write with your left hand and do everything with your right hand, Rabbi Yechiel's not relevant. There's no Rav Nosson, there's no Rabbi Yechiel, there's no nothing. It's you need tarvayhu to be a full-fledged lefty. That's how the Bach says it. Okay. We'll see where the Bach is coming from. Where does he get it from? Like, what gives him the right to say that? The Rambam says in Hilchos Yesodei Torah, Parak Aleph Halacha Ches as follows. Harei Mefurish B'Torah Obu Benavi Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gufu Gviyah. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no guf. One of the 13 animamis. So why does it say in the Torah B'Tachas Raglov Etzpa Elokim Yad Hashem Eine Hashem Olmei Hashem HaKolofi Daitan Shofan Ayodom? We have to grasp certain ideas. So Dibra Torah Koloshim B'nei Yodom. So, you know, it's all emotional. It doesn't mean anything that Hashem has a tzura chalila, but it's all a marshal. And we have to explain to people. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that if you say Hashem has a guf, you're a min, you're not bikaris. The Ravid says, and I'm not alluding to anything that happened in the last year or two, that don't be so fast to call people an apikaris, the Ravid says. If they learned up, that was an amazing thing. He says, "Gedolim and a Rambam, bigger people than the Rambam, to'u b'hai inyan, to'u b'hai inyan," and they learned up the psukim to some degree literally, and it says, "Yad Hashem, Eine Hashem," and they were to'u. Don't be so quick to call them up in person. They sincerely, they learned like that. Psukim, that's the pshat, the posuk, like they believed in everything, and that's how they learned up in the psukim. It's hard for me to imagine that they held out of hand. Right? We're talking about Gedolim and a Rambam, the right of Blushin is. Gedolim Tohu Bahayinian. So they didn't think Hashem has like this. I assure you they didn't hold like that. I want to turn the Rambam around. The Rambam presents it to people. So he's looking through the wrong end of the binoculars, so to speak. The Rambam says that when we say Yad Hashem, it's a mashal. But the truth is, it's the other way around. People think, what's a Yad? This is a Yad. This is a Yad. Say, well, what's a Yad? This is a Yad. So Yad Hashem, Hashem doesn't have a Yad, so it's a mashal. It means Hashem's ability to do things. Hashem does things with his Yad. People do things with their Yad, so Hashem does things with Yad. It's a mashal. But the truth is, it's the other way around. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Bria from top down. Olam HaAtzilus, Olam HaBria, Olam HaYetzira, Olam HaAsiya. So where's the real Yad? The real Yad is a concept. The ability to do things. That's the real Yad. We're the Moshul. This is our Yad. This silly little appendage that's attached to our body, we call that a Yad. But the real Yad is the Eibishter's Yad. The Rambam says Eibishter is Yad as the marshal, because he's talking to people. But that's the real Yad, the conceptual Yad. The concepts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world with concepts. When you say Eish Gehenna, so you say, okay, the real Eish is the fire you strike with a match. And, you know, we got to give a marshal what Gehenna's like, so we say Eish El Gehenna. No, Rabosai. Eish El Gehenna is the real Eish. And Hashem wants to give you a taste of what Eish El Gehenim is, so he made fire down here with the in the chumriyastik of gashmiyastik of form that Eish has. So you say, oh, now we have a shtickle idea. We can grasp what real Eish is. But that's the real Eish. We're the marshal. Oh. A concept, Bekitsa, what I want to bring out, a concept is more real than the physical manifestation of the concept. It's more real. Because a concept is unadulterated, and it's unchangeable, and it's not going to, it's impervious to change. Right? Down here, you have this hand, so you could cut it in half. Right? Circumstance could mess up your hand. But a concept is never going to change. If there's a conceptual hand, that's not going to change, right? That's a concept. A concept, by definition, is not going to change, and it's pure. It's unadulterated. That's the real thing. The real thing is the concept. When it comes to mata, it's a dugma, it's a marshal, it could be, and you have to know, like, what represents Eish? Is this Eish? Does it have enough of the concept in it? It's very important to understand the whole sugya. Does it have enough of the concept in it to represent the concept, and we can call it Eish? Well, maybe it doesn't have enough of the concept in it, so we can't call it Eish. Is there enough Yad in my Yad? Let's say my Yad could pick up things and could throw things, but it can't write. So is that enough of a yad to be called yad? What does the principle, the concept, the conceptual yad, what does that consist of? And does this physical manifestation of that concept have enough of it to be called a yad? Because we're the marshal, and that's the real thing. So that's what you always have to know. Oh. The first pasuk, let's go back to Tana Rabbana, the first Tana. Yotko zu small. Why is Yotko small? Because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Af yodi yosda oretz, v'yamini tofcha shamayim. So let me tell you something right off the bat. Right away, we're not talking about geographical left and right, where the person stands up, and this side is the left side, and this side is the right side. And for people that get mixed up, the siman is to go like this, and L stands for left, so this will always be your left hand, the fingers that spell L. And you don't have to be embarrassed. There are many people who have trouble remembering which is the left and which is the right, and now you know how to do it. When no one's looking, you go like this. Richard Feynman, who was a famous genius physicist, always held the chalk in one hand, and he told his students once that he could never remember which is his left and which is his right hand, so he knows he always holds the chalk in his left hand. And that's how he remembered. He obviously didn't notice. He was a physicist, not a literature teacher. Okay. Anyway. Forget about I'm calling it geographical left and right. You start off the sugya, you know you're not talking about geographical left and right. You're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have geographical left and right. That we all know. So when the Gemara starts off in Tanakama, forget about your Kehon Ravashi. We'll get to that. Let's start learning the first price of the Tanakama. Tana Rabbana Yotchozu Shmol, it's the conceptual left hand. It doesn't mean the Tanakama never meant the geographical left hand. He meant conceptual left hand. What does it mean conceptual? You look in the Malbim and Yeshaya, you see, sometimes it'll mean the weaker hand, it'll mean the hand that does less things, the hands that does less chashuv of things. Yodi yosta oretz is less chashuv, yemini tov chashamayim is more chashuv. We're talking about conceptual left and right. So that's right away in the Tanakhama, that's what we're talking about. Not geographical, left, right, but conceptual. And therefore I know that no one argues with the Yesoid that a lefty puts on tefillin on his right hand. That's why Rashi could say it comfortably and not worry, as the Mordechai suggests, that maybe according to Tanakhama, a lefty also puts on his left hand. Because the Gemara never meant geographical left hand. The Gemara meant conceptual left. And the whole sugya, as we'll see, and the whole sugya is beautiful, and all the questions we ask will be answered with this one yesoid. The whole Gemara is talking about a conceptual left, not a geographical left. So we start off the Tanakhama, and it says one pasuk is af yodi yostorifi minatot chashamayim. And the second pasuk is talking about Yoel in the story of Sisera. The Madana Yontev on the Rosh. Why do you need the second pasuk? Because the first pasuk is talking about the Eivishter. So by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Yad means small. Who says by a person Yad means small? So according to this, it's beautiful. Islamish is beautiful. By the Eivishter, there's no geographical left and right. So of course the pasuk means Yodi is geographical left. But how do you know by a person who has a geographical left that Yod means left, means conceptual left? So that's why the Gemara brings down the second pasuk to tell you that's like the first pasuk, that it means conceptual left. How do I know conceptual left? Well, what is the pasuk? Rabosai, what does Tanakhama mean Yad is small? So when I first learned the Gemara, I said there's only two possibilities. Either he means to learn out from the Psukim that Yad means small, and I know he doesn't mean that Yad means small, because I checked in my Ben Yehuda dictionary, and Yad means hand. Yad doesn't mean left hand. Yad means hand. Believe me, it doesn't mean left hand. Oh, so you say, what are you making late sonnets for? He means, Stam Yad means small. If he means Stam Yad means small, then Rabbi Yosef Chayyim makes no sense. You should be mindful of me. Your basic chorim starts off with a kasha that it says Vayar Yosef ki Yoshes of the Yad Yaminam, and that's a kasha. It's a kasha on the Tanakhama, and he has to answer Yad Yamino Ikri, Yad Stomo Lo Ikri. If all he ever meant was that Stam Yad was Yad Small, so Yitzchak Chorim is like a joke. To ask a kasha from where the pasuk says Yad Yamino, that's not Stam Yad. So what does the Tanakhama mean, my good friends? Yod Chazu Small. It doesn't mean Yod Chazu Small. It means the left hand, because it doesn't mean the left hand. It doesn't mean that Stam Yad is Yad Small, because then you have Yitzchak Chorim, it doesn't make any sense. So what in the world does the Tanakhama mean? Yod Chazu Small. What is he learning out from the pasuk? The teretz is, there's a third possibility. Yodcha is conceptual small. Yodcha means hand, that's what it means, but it's referring to conceptual small. So, I have the word yod, that yod yamino. It's referring to conceptual right. It's not referring to conceptual left. That's a good kasha. You're telling me that yod is yod, hand. When the Torah uses the word yod to mean hand, it means the conceptually the left hand. That's the type of hand it means. So it says yad yamino. So that's a stira. It says yad yamino. How could yad be yamino? If it's conceptual, then that's a stira. So then the Gemara chozer and says Tanakhama didn't mean that yad means conceptual small. Only yad. Not that Yad means conceptual fault. Stam Yad, Tanakhama, then the Gemara answers, Stam Yad Yamino Ikri, Yod Stam Alo Ikri. That it's only Yad Stam that means conceptual small. You know, Yad Stam means conceptual small. There's no reason for Yad Yamin to mean conceptual small. You're saying Yad Yamin. Before the Gemara answered that, so the Tanakhama meant Yod Chum means conceptually small. Like you say, Einei Hashem. What does Einei Hashem mean? You mean conceptual Einei. So the Gemara is saying, anytime it says Yod, it means conceptually the left hand. So then he asks Akasha, so how could it ever say, how could it say Yad Yamin in the Pasuk? If Yod means conceptually the small, so then how could you say Yad Yamin? It's like saying the blind eyes. You're contradicting yourself in the same phrase. So then the Gemara answers, he never meant that. He meant that when it says Stam Yad, it's referring to the conceptual small. But it could say Yad Yamin. Yad itself, the pristine word, is only the conceptual hand. It's just Yad Stam means Yad Small. So that's what you see clearly in the Gemara. Oh. Then we go on to... So that's in Tanakhama, you see that already. So then Rav Nosson says Eino Tzarech. So he said, what do you mean Eino Tzarech? How can you get more basic than saying what the word means? You can't get any more basic than that. Oh. So I think the teretz is good now. If you learn that Rabbi Nosson is saying stamadin, he's not talking about which hand to put tefillin on, so to speak. He's just saying a din. Whatever hand you write with, that's the hand you're kosher tefillin with. And the mele, it turns out that the tefillin's on the left hand. So then, I think it's a good kasha. What do you mean, eino tzarech? This is a fancier drasha than the other one. I believe, and I see it clearly in all the Rishonim, Rav Nosson's also saying that hand means conceptually the left hand. And the parasha and the tefillin, in other words, it's you should tie the tefillin on with your conceptual right hand, and that's what he means by relating it to ksiva. He's just giving an example, perhaps. We'll see. Now that's going to be Taisus and Safek. He's really also just saying that you should tie the tefillin on with your conceptual right hand, and the male of the tefillin is on your conceptual left hand. He's also not talking geography. He's talking conceptually. And he's saying that, he's saying, you don't need the Tanakhama compared Yad to Yamin. There was a contrast. So then he said, you don't have to make that. He's saying like the Tanakhama, that the hand you put tefillin on is the conceptual left hand. But you don't have to reach that result by comparing it to Yamin by going to a different pasuk and saying Yad and Yamin. Yad means small. You can look at this pasuk gufa and see that it means the conceptual left hand, because the pasuk says Ukshartam Uchsaftam. See, if you learn, he's saying Stamadin, he's not following along the lines of Tanakama at all. Tanakama said Yad means small, and he's saying there's a din that you should tie tefillin on with your right hand, and the melech has to be on the left hand. My good friends, that's not Eino Tzorech. That's a much more complex, not to the point drasha. Much more not to the point. But if he's also saying, his point also is that we're dealing with the conceptual left hand, that Rav Nosson Oimer Eino Tzorech to go for other psukim to prove that the hand, that Ukshartam Los Al Yodecha means the conceptual left hand. I have in this Pasagufa, because it says you should tie the tefillin on with your conceptual right hand, the hand that writes. And that's the conceptual right hand. So the male of the tefillin are on your, so you have the pasuk by tefillin gufa. You understand, if he's following along the lines of Tanakama, he could say Eino Tzorech. You don't have to be maybe Nimerech HaKlach, but you have it right here. But if he's saying Stamadin, the way the acronym understand it, Eino Tzorech makes no sense. And now Tosfos has a beautiful suffix. Since Rav Nosson is also saying that you put tefillin on your conceptual left hand, and the Torah says that by saying that you should tie it on with your conceptual right hand, and how do I know the Torah means the right hand? Because the hand you write with. Now, Tosfos says something. Is the Torah picking writing as an example, as a dogma? Now, do you want to say the conceptual right hand? The Torah could have said maybe the hand you play basketball with. Could have said the hand you're knocking a hammer with, right? And it said the hand you write with. Maybe that's the job of the drasha. Since everybody understood, all the Rishonim, everybody understood that Rav Nosson was not saying, like a din, you put tefillin on, right, you tie it with the hand you write with, and it's dafka tzivah. We'll see in a moment. Nobody holds like that, except maybe the Darkei Moshe, which I don't know. I don't know if I'll do it with Darkei Moshe. He says the smack also. The Moshe's a belly to me. Rav Nosson also means you put tefillin on your conceptual left hand, and it's me goofing the crow, because you tie it on with the conceptual right hand. And what does the Torah pick as an example of a conceptual right hand? The hand you write with. So Tosfos against the Histapik. Is this a dogma? Is it an example? The Torah picked Ksiva. Could have picked many things. The Mishnah Berurah wants to know. Maybe you have to be able to write mezuzahs with that hand. Bir Halacha. He says, maybe you have to be able to write mezuzahs. That's the ksiva and the pasuk. He doesn't know. He's not sure. Like, why not? That means you have to be able to write. You can't draw pictures with your hand. If you can't write and you only draw pictures, that's not called ksiva. So maybe you have to be able to write mezuzahs. There it is. The Torah didn't mean be'etzem this thing you have to be able to do. The Torah was picking perhaps an example of what's a conceptual right hand. The hand you write with. It could have said the hand you play basketball with. Well, maybe no. The Torah is saying that what's kaveya, the right hand, dafka what you write with. That's Tosfos Hasafek. So Tosfos, you know something. Beautiful. Since Rav Nosson's also talking about what's conceptually your left hand, so Tosfos, the Shemo, and the Smak Lamaisa holds even in Rav Nosson. Avada, you can't negate the fact that he does everything with his left hand. Even if the Torah means bedafka, the hand you write with, is kaveya, what's your conceptual right hand. But kol malachto is certainly also kaveya, what's your right hand. If Rav Nosson is a din azah, it's a din. Whatever hand you write with, that's a din. So then there's no shayla b'shtayada. Doesn't make any sense. But if Rav Nosson is also talking about what's your conceptual right hand and what's your conceptual left hand, so the Torah, even if it means bedafka writing, it doesn't mean it as a dogma. It means it as writing. But that's one way of creating a right hand. Kol malachto is another way of creating a right hand, a conceptual right hand. Certainly that's also a way of, that's what the smart holds. That's what even according to Rav Nosson it shows that b'shtei yadav. Because writing is the Torah saying, b'feirish, this makes a conceptual right hand, the right hand you write with. And the smart holds, my goodness, certainly the hand you do everything with is certainly a conceptual right hand. And that's what Tosfos says also, b'toiras v'shem. Okay, well, let me finish up quickly because it is rather hot in here. It's getting heated and it's getting late. Okay, I'll skip all the rayas that I have, and I'll get to the point of the non-psak. Oh, and that also answers Rashi. This is an important point I want to bring out. Why does Rashi have the right to explain Shoylet B'Shteyot? And that's, by the way, Rashi, that's why Rashi in a vacuum says, this portion, Yemin Shalit, have the smaller today. It's not totally in Psukim. We're talking about conceptual right. I showed you in Tanakama we're talking about conceptual right and left. I showed you in Rav Nosson we're talking about conceptual right and left. And certainly in Yad Keha we're talking about conceptual left and right. They're all saying the same din. They're just bringing down different makairas to the same din. There's no machlaikas here. And the lashon is that there's no machlaikas. And b'zeh everything is miyushuv. Oh, now we come. Oh, so what can shaylut b'shteyada? You can tie it still shver. But at least now, I'm happy. See, if you learn, it's not conceptual, but geographical. So then, how do you have the right to jump to Yad Yamin, Yad Smol of the whole world? And how do you make that jump? If the pasuk means your, Iter puts on his right hand, because that's his left. So if he shows it to his Yodav, then all of a sudden the Torah means the left hand of the whole Welt. Like, how do you make that leap? But if the din is always the same, that you put on your conceptual left hand, so by tefillin, if he shows b'shtei yadov, what's kaveya, his conceptual left hand, is kol ha'olam. That's also a way of being kaveya. Different things can be kaveya, what his conceptual left hand is. Why by tefillin do we nemar that what's kaveya it is what's the left hand by roiv ha'olam? And by a kohen, we're not conveying it that way. I admit I don't know. That I don't know. But I do know that once you talk about a conceptual principle, you have the right to say, Lamoshal, as I said, according to the Smak and according to Tosis, even according to Rav Nosson, writing is just one way of being kaveya. What's your conceptual right hand? But Kol Malachto is another way. And I have the right now to say that Shoylet B'Shtei Yodov, you know it'll be Kaveya, the conceptual right and left. I'll go with the Welt, because I don't have a way of being Kaveya, because I'm ambidextrous. It has Mokom to say. There's room to say it. There's no room to say it the other way. But once you establish this, you say, then you can say, in a guy that's ambidextrous, so you're always looking for something to be kaveya, what's his left and what's his right. So if you don't have anything, he has two equal hands, so you go to the belt, and you go with the way the belt is, and that's going to be kaveya, his conceptual right and left hand. Now, we'll go to the Bach. So that's the Pshat in the Bach also, very quickly. The Bach held that all... You know what, I'll skip this because it's getting late, and I'll just show you, now we're going to add up the Shitas, and I want to show you a Moir de Gebir Halacha, and show you how everybody paskins like the Bach. That's what I'm going to tell you. And that's why your son should certainly only put on tefillin on his left hand, because everybody paskins like the Bach. Okay? Because I'll show you a Bir Halacha. What do we have here? We have here Rabbeinu Yechiel. So Rabbeinu Yechiel takes Rav Nosson seriously. And therefore, the Mechaber says, the Yesh Omrim, the second Yesh Omrim, Shayot Shekosev Bo is Chashub B'Yamin L'Inyan Zeh, that's Kaveya what's Yamin, the hand you're right with. Sounds like straightforward Rav Nosson. And the Shulchan Aruch says it both ways. Can't mess with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch starts off, if you're right, and you do everything with your left, or you're right with your left, and you do everything with your right. Some say Yod Keha, and some say the Yad you're right with is Yamin. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says, V'hochi Nohuk, and that's the Dark Emotion. I told you, it's not so posh, because the Dark Emotion says the Smak also. Hochi Nohuk, Yesh Linog, like the Smak. And the Smak just calls it Shoylet B'Shteyodov. So according to the Smak, either way, you're always going to put on your left hand. Because it's Shoylet B'Shtei Yodav. So either way, it's going to be called Shoylet B'Shtei Yodav. And we explain the smack. Oh, so, now look at the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha is very funny here. The Bir Halacha says, B'Hochi Nog. So he brings down the Bach, that's Tafka one way, and then he brings down, no, but we go with the Shulchan Aruch. Either way, according to this Shita, you follow the hand you're right with. Which would mean your son should put also, at least, on his, whichever, on his right hand, because he writes with his left. Okay. Then he goes, Gra, okay. Then he says, listen to this. He says, Ach, mikomu gom nirol an niyostaiti, denucha lahamlitz ala ha'oilom, denoigin ka'alocha alibu duchuli alma. The Gra Locha says, I'm going to be mamlitz on the oilom that they're doing luchuli alma. You think they're ignoring the Gra, and they're following the Ramah. And but I'm going to show you the following minig shel Yisrael Torah. Yeah, you acquainted with Bir Lacha? Yeah. Now, first of all, the Bir Lacha is a pella, because the rule is when you have two shittas, you go in Shulchan Aruch, you follow the second Yesh Oimrin, and the Ramah says V'hochi Nohu. So why the Bir Lacha feels a need to explain why minig Yisrael Torah he to me already says, you know why? Because the Ramah is such a shittas yochid. And the Beis Yosef is such a Shittas Yochid that it doesn't make any sense to follow him. Because Rabbi Chiel is a Shittas Yochid, and Rabbi Chiel might mean like the smack that he showed with Bishtei Yadov. Rabbi Chiel himself is talking about that case where he writes with his right hand and then he goes with his left hand. The smack says, Beferes showed with Bishtei Yadov, how are you so sure what Yechiel mi Paris meant? Maybe he meant like the smack. So the Ramah is so, and the Ramah himself, the Bakri Moshe says, Yesh Linog like the smack. So it's so almost outlandish to just follow the Ramah in both ways and follow the Yad Shekosev that the Bir Halacha has to be mamlitz on Minig Yisrael and say why Minig Yisrael Toiri. And he makes a whole cheshbon. I'm really capsulizing very, very quickly here. He makes a whole cheshbon that when do you follow Yad Shekosev Ba? That even the day of Rishona, meaning even like the Gra, that you don't follow hand writing. That's only if one hand writes and the other hand can, and the other hand does everything. But if the hand that writes also can do things, just not as well as the other hand, right? So then he says, then it's called like Shoilet Bishtei Yodov, right? And that's the Pshat and the Minhag Olam. You think I'm really, yeah? Now I wanted the Bir Halacha was a pella, not a pella. The Bir Halacha only answered one case. If the Bir Halacha was bothered by why people are doing like the Ramah, that's what he says. Why are people doing like the Ramah? Why they should? And I'm telling you, why do they have to be mamlets for the Olam for? You follow the second Yesh Aimrim. What's wrong with the Ramah? The Ramah is a fine fellow. We follow the Ramah in many cases. He says the Hochi Nohu. What's the Bir Halacha's problem? His problem is that the Daki Moshe is a pella, taka pella, and even the Daki Moshe himself is a pella because he brings on the smack. And according to the smack, you're always going to put on your left hand. Even, right? You're always going to put on your left. No matter which hand is it is, you're always going to put on your left. So the Bir Halacha feels a need to explain why the Olam does it that way. So he wants to explain why the Olam does like the Ramah, not like the Yesh Olam. So what does he explain? He says that even the first sheet is going to be moida that if you write with one hand, right, and you do everything else with your other hand, but the hand you write with, you can also do things with. So that's called Shoilet Bishtei Yadav. Yeah, so which case did the Bir Halacha take care of? He took care of the case where you write with your right hand, and you do everything else with your left hand. Right, so the and everybody does like the Ramah. And they put the tefillin on their left hand. Why aren't they doing like the Gra? And putting the tefillin on the right hand. So he says, because, and he makes this cheshbon. But he didn't take care of your son's case. Why didn't he didn't address your son's case? How is he mamlitz on the minhag olam in your son's case? The teretz is there was never a minhag olam in your son's case. That's what I want to tell you. That's what you see clearly in the Bir Halacha. There was only a minhag olam where you write with your right hand and you do everything with your left hand. The minhag olam was because there's a smack and they treated it like shoilet bishtei yodov, so they put it on their left hand. That's the minhag olam that he has to fa'enfer. But he didn't fa'enfer the other way. He didn't fa'enfer in your son's case why the oilam does it. So I'm telling you, because there was never a minhag oilam that way. So he didn't feel a need to address that. Because the minhag oilam, because they said, you know, it's the smack, it's shoilet bishtei yodov. That's why they followed the Darkei Moshe. Because the Darkei Moshe himself said the smack. He didn't say Rav Nosson. And we proved Rav Nosson is not Rav Nosson, a dinazah, whichever hand you write with, do with the other hand. We proved that's impossible. No one learns like that. Not Toises, not the Smak, not the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't make sense. Ain't no Tzorek. What are you telling me in a Tzorek? Oh, So that's what I'm saying. It's clear from the Bi'ur Halacha. So now if you want to add up Pshitas, what your son should do, I hold your son, I'm not passing, your son shouldn't even be Machmir. He should only put tefillin on his left hand. Why? First of all, you have the Groh. And you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you should follow the Groh. That's first of all. Second of all, you have the Bach. Even in the Bechil, you have the Bach. The Dake Moshe is a Pella, because the Dake Moshe says, Yesh Lino Kismak, the Chereb Yechil. And the Smak has your son putting it on his left hand only. The Bir Alocha that explains the min, Rav Moshe, you want to follow Rav Moshe? Rav Moshe also would agree your son only puts on his left hand. The Bir Alocha, right? You can't get any more like cadet than following the Bir Alocha. He only for enfas the other case, where you write with one hand and you do everything with the other hand. And he's mamlis on Minig Olam. He doesn't fend for the, I'm telling you, there was never a Minig Olam the other way. Because the Olam only went with the Smak. That is Shodot B'Shtei Yodov. Or maybe they learned like the Bach. That Rabbi Chiel is only saying that you need both. But he's not going in the other case. So therefore, if it was my son, I'd be perfectly comfortable that he should go his whole life only putting on tefillin on his left hand. Okay. Kibbut Kal. What? It's only a spoon. The knife on your arm. He's dexterous. He's dexterous. Knife. The fork, the only spear. If he throws the knife with his and his knife. People hold the knife in their weaker hand.
You're supposed to put the knife in your hand and cut, and then take the hand. You don't do it. You're lazy. That's what you're supposed to do. You have the knife in your strong hand and cut. Give me one.
Conceptual left would be a real right. Okay.
However, what you're saying is, by God, there's no such thing as consent.
Rashi says a lefty calling. Yeah. Marks a lefty calling.
Right. A bustle in what way?
Give me that base, the base over there. See the base? You're going to be safe in the base. The base, the base. In the Rambam, in the Rambam, by his manum. Right hand. That's because he had to get a muck in his left.
There was another thing that